I'd like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church. We would like, if you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. Our radio is being sponsored by Pam Weddle this morning in memory of Mark and Marie's birthdays. Please mark your calendars for our next community meal. It will be October 21st from 5 to 7 p.m. If you don't get your fill of the Oktoberfest, join us for brats, sausage, sauerkraut, potato salad, and cake. Lots of fun and fellowship here at Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour, Indiana. Also, October the 31st from 6 to 8 p.m., please join us in the back parking lot as we will have fun with kids trunk or treating. Everyone is invited to stop by for trick or treat. Please join us here at Trinity United Methodist Church. Our scripture this morning is from Philippians 2, 1 through 13, and it's on page 1162 in your pew Bible. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make your joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in the spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of flesh, ambition, or vain conceit, or in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ, who bring in very mature God. Do not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of the servant, being made in human flesh likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name. That is the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. Our sermon this morning is Joy, Humility, and Obedience by Pastor Angel Armstrong.
Thank you. Have you ever broke into tears or dropped to your knees at the remembrance of all Christ Jesus did for us? He prepared His disciples. He ministered even to the one He knew would betray Him. I'm always captivated by the thought of Him being in the garden, asking His beloved to stay awake and watch with Him, and they couldn't do that at the time. He sweat great drops of blood in agony, thinking about what was to come. He would be humiliated. He would be physically and emotionally tormented. And yet, He said, Your will, not mine. As far as I'm concerned, that is the theme behind this passage. Your will, God, not mine. Let me look for the interest of others. Let me be like-minded. Do not allow your body to be torn apart by differences. This passage has weighed heavily upon me throughout this week, and I was reminded of two things. In seminary, I did a dual degree, counseling and MDiv. I didn't take my MDiv classes until towards the end. And I went and I interviewed at Speedway United Methodist Church for my field ed practicum. I interviewed there twice. And upon being accepted, the senior pastor there looked at me and said, "By the way, you're preaching next week." I freaked out. I started coughing and sputtering. Wait. I have not taken any of those classes yet. I don't know how to do this. He said, "It's okay. I will send you an outline that tells you how to put a sermon together." And all I could do was say, "Your will, not mine, God," because I'm stuck in this and I have to move forward. At the top of the page is something that I think about frequently when I do sermon preparation. He said, "Choose your passage and then pray over it. Let it wound you deeply. Then pray for what God would have you to say to your congregation." It might be different, but you need to start with that passage wounding you. And beloved, this passage has wounded and humbled me, and I'm praying that it will you as well. I'd ask that you would all go home and read this passage quietly on your own and offer yourself to our God. The second thing was, is there's an up-and-coming minister in this area that I'm trying to come alongside of. And she said, in direct regards to this passage, that frequently our true character is revealed during difficult times. Whew, do I know that one to be true? I have failed at that one several times. But beloved, when we fully submit ourselves to Christ Jesus, He begins shaping and molding our character and teaching us to follow Him. I believe that pride is the opposite of humility, and it leads to judging and shaming and condemning ourselves and others. Beloved, that's not our job. It is God's job to judge others. He created each and every human being in His image. He knows their mind, their heart, and their spirit. He knows what has happened in their lifetime to shape and form them to be the person that they are today. And only He can judge us. In this letter, Paul speaks of death. And he speaks of death as if he is looking forward to it, and he is indeed looking forward to it, because he knows that his life in Christ Jesus begins after death. This lesson begins with a small thing, a small word that is easily overlooked. If then, or more precisely, if, it is a simple little word, but it makes all of the difference. In the Greek, each clause in this passage begins with the word if. If there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation, if. there is any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion, any sympathy, if there is any of those things, then Paul calls us to come together as one body under the head of Christ Jesus and to live our lives to the best of our ability with one mindset, the mindset of Christ Jesus. He calls us to have the same love that Jesus has. He calls us to remain united together. Beloved, there is so much division, so much cruelty, so much hate, so much bias, so much junk in the world. I don't want to see it here in the church. I want us to come together. I've been here almost 4 years now, and I have been blessed by a spirit of coming together. When push comes to shove in this church, every single member of this church will stand up behind another member. And that's what we are called to do. I believe that we are a church that prays deeply and sincerely tries to live in humility and obedience to Christ Jesus. If people feel any encouragement in Christ, any strengthening from the body, and I do feel strengthening from this body, any appeal to the part of us which is good and true, any calling of us by Christ to be part of his work here on earth, then Paul lays claim to what he wishes us to do. If there is any consolation from love, any encouragement for us from our fellow believers, from our family, from the body of Christ, any comfort in our time of grief and sorrow and hardship from the body of Christ, then Paul asks us to make his joy complete. If there is any sharing in the Spirit, any fellowship with others, any generosity of our time, any generosity of our gifts and our service, any participation in the grief of others, then Paul lays claim to what we are called to do. If there is any compassion and sympathy for others, if there is any affection, love, deep feeling, pity, or mercy, then Paul has a claim on what he wishes us to do. And that is a critical point of this particular passage. If Paul is desiring us to act in a certain way, then he's going to spell it out for us. He says, make my joy complete. Make my joy complete in the world, in the, never mind, I talk. In the Greek, the word complete is translated as fill up, be well supplied, fill completely to the brim, or give true meaning to. In some ways, this might sound difficult, especially as it pertains to joy. Our joy is not often thought of something that is sustained. You see, true joy is the knowledge that we are in the Lord and that he walks with us through every breath, through every step, through every part of our life. Joy isn't all happiness and sunshine and rainbows. Joy is knowing whose we are and where we are going. It is also living for him. The answer is found in four items in the first sentence that Paul speaks forth. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being of full accord and one mind. These sound like actions that a church official might say to a squabbling church. But we know that this passage is not an entire church that is squabbling. It is two members. Sadly, though, just like any place else in the world, we take sides. We take sides with one of the members against the other member. And then they gather people together. And next thing you know, we have contention and division in our church. Paul speaks in chapter 4 directly to Euodia and Syntyche, asking them to set aside their differences and to do what is best for the church as a whole. And beloved, I echo that statement and I ask that we live in the same matter. Not all differences of opinion are ever going to be solved, because there will be differences of opinion no matter what we do. Members will disagree, but we are called to be in full accord and one mind in Paul's way of reminding those who hear his words that all the problems, disputes, and difficulties we encounter within the church can be overcome by coming together in a spirit of humility, by having regard for others first. He uses an example in some places in the Bible. In the Greek, when the soldiers got together, they were a formidable bunch. They held their shields and their spears up, and enemies could not get through the line of defense because each man took his shield and covered the man next to him. That man did not protect himself. He protected the man next to him. What if we were to do that? What if we, I love the song, "They Will Know We Are Christians By Our Love." We will stand hand in hand, protect each man's dignity and each man's pride. What if we stood up for one another? What if instead of throwing gasoline on the fire when gossip began, we asked the person, "Have you talked to them? Can I pray with you? Can I go with you to talk to them?" What if we each were agents of grace who tried to unite and bring people together rather than living in the flesh and allowing the things that hurt our heart, upset us, or cause us to grumble to come forth from our mouths? It's an extreme example, the way that the Greek army protected one another. But it represents this passage saying, "Look not to your own interest, but to the interest of others." Once again, Paul's advice works itself out precisely within the church. Because when we each look out for one another, then everyone's interests are taken care of. Just like the shields of the ancient ranks, each person protects and cares for one another, and thus each person's interests are taken care of. Finally, Paul offers one last piece of advice. "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus." This is probably one of the most difficult pieces of advice to follow. I know that it is hard for me to take every thought captive to Christ. We are all human beings. We all have our own opinions, thoughts, and differences, and that's what makes us unique. Paul is not saying that we should all think alike or even that we should all love alike. We will all show love for one another in different ways. But he's asking that we would become of one mind. When there is something threatening to divide us, he's asking that we will put the love of Christ Jesus first. We will put the good of the whole first and foremost. That we will close ranks and protect one another, thereby protecting the entire body of Christ. So long as Paul is giving advice, the situation is only uncomfortable. But when he calls us to actually live, it becomes more than uncomfortable. It becomes a practice that we are called to live within. Just like Jesus said in the garden, I don't want to do this. The man sweat blood. His agony was so thick. But he said, thy will, not mine. If Christians in one church body or across one nation or even across the world as a whole were to put the Bible first, were to put Christ first and foremost, there would be less division. Now, granted, there are a lot of people who don't live in that way that we would still have to contend with. But when we think with the mind of Christ Jesus, when we fully submit to him, he gives us the power to enact it. Paul closes this letter by re-emphasizing the idea of our obedience. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interest, but to the interest of others. And let the same mind be in you that is in Christ Jesus. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but even more so in my absence now, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. In a few minutes, the song Threshing Floor is going to play. I invite you to work out your own salvation, to work out your own differences of opinion by submitting to Christ Jesus, by laying everything on the threshing floor. Because really, being like-minded in Christ comes from following him, and it's between you and him and no one else. And so we work to obey what Paul wrote, to have the same mind as Christ Jesus, to be obedient even unto the point of death as we struggle with God's call to be obedient. We also know that God is at work in and among us, helping us to obey his commands, helping to bind us one unto another. The song Threshing Floor reminds us that we lay everything down like Christ did in the garden when he asked for the cup to pass, but yet said, thy will, not mine. It says, what I lose is nothing compared to what I gain. Come, tear down every idol, tear down every wall in my life. Jesus didn't run from the calling or from the crushing. Come to the threshing floor. Let him sift you. It is between you and Jesus Christ.
I won't run from the crushing. I'll hold on through the pain. What I lose means nothing next to what I gain. Come tear down every idol so this heart won't stray. set me straight. I just wanna be your sanctuary, a dwelling place for grace and mercy. Keep sifting me till everything is on the threshing floor. Everything that's between you and me, Lord.